was looking up some more statistics. And according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, listen to this. This is kind of interesting. Parents spend, on the average, for a child under 18 years of age, parents spend, on the average, for a child under 18 years of age, less than 1.34 hours a day total caring for and helping their children. Think about that. Think about that. On average, parents spend 1.34 hours a day helping their children. And if you want to look specifically at mom and dad, fathers spend less than an hour a day in total caring for and helping in the household or helping the family. Less than an hour. Wow. 0.94 to be exact. Mothers spend 1.69 hours a day helping or caring for their family. Now you think about that. Do you think about that? What did I say wrong? Mothers are doing stuff all the time, but we live in 2024 and so many mothers are absent, so many mothers are working and all that. Where do you have time for your kids? I mean, it's tough, right? You know, you say, well, who has the biggest influence on kids? I read something there. It said, it was like, duh, those that spend the most time with the kids. And do you see the correlation? It's like if parents aren't spending a lot of time with their kids, who is doing the influencing? Now, I think according to most surveys you look at, I think most surveys say that parents are still the greatest influence, which is great. But regardless of how much time we spend with our kids, I'm sure that we would say that we could probably do a better job. And I'm sure that parents need to spend more time with their families, fathers in particular, it seems. But when we do spend time with them, how do we spend that time? How do we spend that time? You know, we've been looking, this is part two in a sermon series, The Role of a Father. The Role of a Father. Now, some of you, you're going to want to turn me off right now. You're going to go, click, I'm not a father. Or I'm a father who's, you know, my kids are going, well, you're still a father. And you can still learn and you can still teach is what we're going to emphasize today. But you know what? Really, this message applies to everyone who is in a position of leadership. That would be mom, that would be dad. And you know, in West Virginia, over half of the kids in our state are being raised by their grandparents. So this goes to grandparents, this goes to great-grandparents, this goes to mom, this goes to dad, this goes to the whole schmeal. So don't click me off. Listen really close to what we ought to be doing for our children. The role of a father, he teaches his children. He teaches his children. Now, the two points that we've already looked at in particular, we're spelling out fatherhood, so we're going to be on this a little bit, but don't think for a moment that this just applies to dad. No, it really applies to all of us, okay? It'll spell out fatherhood, that is. The F is he furnishes or provides for the needs of his family. We looked at this last Sunday morning on Father's Day, Luke 11, 9 to 13, and 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. And the A, he admonishes his children. That means he charges or urges or implores their children to do what is right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, and Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. But this morning, we're going to be looking at the role of a father. He teaches his children. He teaches his children. Do you remember those statistics? I'll not go over them again, but how much more likely children are to get in trouble if father is absent? Now, listen, I think everybody here can draw a little closer to the Lord and do a better job of teaching those that are around us. Y'all agree with that? Just give me an uh-huh. Now, we don't have Larry, so we got Connie back here, amen, and so we need some help, okay? All right. If you would, if you have your Bible, Proverbs chapter 1. We're looking at the role of a father, which is actually speaking to the mother, the grandparent, the great-grandparent, those that you can influence to teach his children. Listen, point number one, the teachings of a father should be listened to and obeyed by the children. Did you hear what I said? The teachings of a father should be listened to and obeyed by the children. In Proverbs chapter 1, look at verses 7 and 8. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's a wonderful part, right? Fear of the Lord, that's where we actually begin to understand and have wisdom, is when we put the Lord in the proper perspective. But it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now notice what it says in verse 8 in particular. My son, hear the instruction of what? Of thy father. And here even mom's mentioned. And forsake not the law of thy mother. You see, the teachings of a father or mother or grandparent or great-grandparent should be listened to and obeyed by the children. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. It says, hear ye children the instruction of a father. Now, it's not just like I'm going to listen. The idea here is to listen and obey, right? The instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. But some might say, well, preacher, that's the Old Testament. That's Proverbs. What about the New Testament? In Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verses 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. We're looking at the role of a father. He teaches his children. And point number one today, the teachings of a father should be listened to and obeyed by his children. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Notice this. You know, the Bible is an amazing book. There's no problem with the Bible. But do you know where the problem comes from? The problem comes from us listening and obeying what the Bible tells us. It's amazing how many controversies the Bible clears up. And I'm telling you, in this wonderful book called the Bible is the answer to every problem that you have. Did you hear me? The answer to every problem that you have. You know, the answer to every issue that faces our society is found in the Bible. And it's discouraging to see how many churches are forsaking the Bible in order to be politically correct. As long as I'm here, we're not going to. And I can assure you that I'm not going to forsake the principles of God's Word. Because that's all I have to live on. That's the very words of God. That's the very love letter that God has written to me saying this is right and this is wrong. And can I tell you, regardless of how smart we think we get, right is still right and wrong is still wrong and it has not shifted. Amen? And when I'm talking about the teachings of a father, you know, the place of the child. And again, we got mixed families. We got families with grandparents raising. We got all that going on. But you know what? Those children that we're teaching ought to be taught respect. They ought to be taught obedience. And the role of them, I know most of them are downstairs right now. But you know what? You are not blessing your kids whenever you let them rule the roost. You're not being a blessing. You're not like, okay, well, I'm going to let little Junior have whatever they want. You need to rise up and be the parent that God has called you to be. You hear me? Ah, it's getting quieter in here. You're not doing them a favor by saying, do whatever you want to do. You know, really, God has put within that child, really, I believe this, the desire and the longing to have loving boundaries set up in his life. And when we don't set up those boundaries, we are not doing them a favor. We are setting them up for failure in the future. Now, God's word is clear. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 6. Listen to this. Now, this is not rocket science, okay? This is just right real clear. Are you ready? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. Children, obey your parents, for this is in the Lord, for this is right. Now, if your parents tell you to do something that is immoral, that's the only time that we can say, no, I'm not going to do that. Other than that, we are to obey our parents. You say, but my parents aren't perfect. Well, you've nailed it. You're right. Your parents are not perfect, but the structure that God has set up in the family is for children to obey their parents. That was not a problem in my family growing up. I knew who to listen to, and I knew I better obey or there were going to be consequences. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, again, I think sometimes today we think, well, we have such fractured. I really think this is part of the problem. We have such fractured families that there's so much guilt and shame by the people that are raising the children that they feel that they're doing Junior a favor by saying, oh, okay, well, just do what you want to do. I don't want to be too hard on you because you've had a rough beginning. And Listen. We all got to rise up and just do what God has called us to do. And if you are the parent or the one responsible for these children, you got to teach them. You're going to listen to what I say, and you're going to obey what I say to do. Now listen, if you don't teach them and they go to the workplace, what's going to happen? I mean, they're not going to be there either. You need to teach them the proper respect for authority, and that's what you are in the family. Now it says quite clearly, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Any question about what that means? I mean, that's just clear. That's just verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So we're not only to obey, but we are to honor. Now, as we get older and we're on our own, you know, I think it shifts a little bit from obey to more honor. Because you're on your own. You're making your own decisions. Now, if they completely forbid, now that's kind of like, I'm an adult. But the honor should never end. You hear me? The honor should never end. You know, we honor our parents by looking after them when they get older, right? We honor our parents by continuing to respect them. And still not talking back or talking to them like they're stupid or they're idiots or something. Now we experienced this with dementia with Amy's mom. You know, even I realize when that disease gets a hold of people, it's easy to lose your temper and like, no. But you still show them honor and respect. It goes right back to the Bible. You still honor them and respect them, right? And normally, it does no good to argue with someone with dementia or Alzheimer's at all. Sometimes you just smile and say, okay, all right, yep, don't you? That's the best way to handle it. So you see, the Bible is very clear. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, I don't know anybody that wouldn't want it to be well with him. Look at verse 3, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. There's a blessing associated with obeying and honoring your parents. You know, we had an expression in our family that helped to kind of clarify the roles a little bit. And it wasn't necessarily at a tense moment or anything, or when things were about ready to fly apart or anything, or when there was back talking or anything, because there was very little of that in our family as far as our boys and Amy. But we would say at times, guess what? King, queen, and you are the loyal subjects. Just kind of nail it down here a little bit. That guess what? You're going to obey and you're going to honor your parents. The role of a father, he teaches his children. The teachings of a father should be listened to and obeyed by the children. That's point number one today. Point number two, the teachings of a father, or as I've said before, the mother or grandparent or great-grandparent, are memorable. The teachings are memorable. Psalm 44, verse 1. Psalm 44 and verse 1. If you want to turn there, Psalm 44 and verse 1. Notice what it says. Now, of course, this is the hymn book of the Hebrews, right? Of the children of Israel. And notice what they're saying in verse 1 of chapter 44. It says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old." You know what? The psalmist here is saying, you know, our fathers told us these things. They taught us these things. And we remember it. We remember it. Do you realize the teachings that we teach our children, or what you say to your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, a lot of times they stick right here. And can I tell you that when they're negative, mean, and nasty comments like, "You're never going to amount to anything. You're nothing but a loser." And don't tell me that some parents don't tell their kids that. Don't tell me that some grandparents lose their cool and say things like, I'm telling you, it leaves an indelible impression in the brain that only God can erase. But let me tell you, on the positive side of things, when you teach them right, they remember things. Like in that verse, "We have heard with our ears what our fathers have told us, what work you did in the days of old." Turn to Psalm 78. The teachings of a father are memorable. Look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Notice what it says, verses 1 to 8. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." It says, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known." Says, I'm going to speak the same things, the psalmist says, "which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." You see, we remember those things. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come." You know, what we've been taught, we're going to pass on. Isn't that what it's saying? We remember the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. "For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, which should arise and declare them to their children." See, you see the point? It's saying, you know, we were taught by our fathers, we're going to pass it on to our children, and they're going to pass it on to their children, the teachings of the Lord. The teachings of a father are memorable. Notice it says, verse 7, "that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Do you realize the teachings of a father are memorable? Are memorable. So, if you teach good stuff, they remember good stuff. If you teach bad stuff, they remember bad stuff. I don't know about you, but that's a bit convicting. It's important what we teach our kids, our grandkids, and our great-grandkids. And some might be sitting here today and say, well, we don't have custody of our grandkids or our great-grandkids, and I don't even see them very much. But you know, when you do see them, make the most of it. Teach them as much as you can about the Lord. It's memorable. And they'll pass it down to their children, perhaps, and to their children, and to their children. Let me tell you, that's part of the problem. We're not doing a very good job of passing the teachings of the Lord down. I mean, just look around. I mean, we've had several funerals in our church of our church people. Thankfully, they're with the Lord now. But you know what? The generation of the funeral, the person that I had their funeral, man, these people, they were like here every time the doors of the church were open. They were here witnessing for the Lord. They were here telling people about Jesus. They were here singing in the choir. They were here teaching Sunday school classes. They were here being the church secretary and the clerk. And they were here. And then you look at the next generation. I'd say it's probably about 50-50 about whether they're in church or not. I'm talking about the old timers, okay? And then their kids, I'd say about 50-50, some in church, some not in church. But I will say that some of the 50 that's in church are not necessarily in really solid churches. But then you look to the next generation after them and their kids. I mean, and honestly, and now don't take this as critical, okay? But you can just look at them. I mean, can't you sometimes look at people and see that they're very radical? I mean, seriously, again, I'm not throwing stones at them. God loves them as much as he loves me. But you can, and that's where we've ceased or not taught the way we should through generation to generation to generation. You hear me? Now, that's I'm not meaning to show a shovel load of guilt in your heart and in your life, but I think every one of us could say we could do a better job. But sometimes we can do a great job of trying to teach them, and they get old enough and they just rebel. That's just the way it is. But our responsibility, and that's what I'm emphasizing today, is to do the best job we can to teach our children what's right. Teach them what's right. We're looking at the role of a father. He teaches his children. We looked at point number one, the teachings of a father should be listened to and obeyed by the children. Point number two, the teachings of a father are memorable. We have some sayings in our family. Boys probably get tired of hearing this. But we said things like this. Hi, Jason, on the balcony. How are you? We'd say things like this. Good things happen when you're good. Bad things happen when you're bad. Now, that's a general statement, right? But I'm sure that Ryan and Jason remember that. You know, and when we teach, it sticks in their brain. And I still say this to them all the time. Be a, and I have them fill in the blank. Be a leader. And then I go to the next blank. Think before thou doest. Got to throw a little King James in there. Think before thou doest and do right. And keep your guard up. And they'll fill in the blank. You see, those teachings, I'm hoping that those teachings based upon God's word sticks with our boys. And you don't have to come up with little pithy sayings. All you got to do is teach them right. Teach them what is right according to the word of God. Do you think our society would be a little bit better off if our fathers did a better job of teaching? If our mothers did a better job of teaching? If our grandparents did a little better job of teaching, or our great-grandparents, absolutely. You know, our society is so wiped out, and it comes right back to families. And God's got the answer to the family. Let me tell you. And when these families are getting all mixed up with two dads and two moms, or a mom acting like a dad, or a dad acting like a mom, and you got any, I'm telling you, our society is only going to go further and further and further away from God. I mean, you think when you look at society today, when you're out and you're scratching your head, going, wow, you just wait. You just wait. And that's the people we're ministering to. I mean, it's really, really, really going to get worse and worse. But guess what? We can do our part, right? We can teach our kids because they remember. It's memorable. Third point today, the teachings of a father ought to involve training or modeling. The teachings of a father or mother or grandparent or great-grandparent ought to involve training or modeling. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. But this time look at verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. We'll talk about that later. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know that word nurture? That word nurture, the Greek word is used 6 times in the New Testament. It talks about like a tutorage, like a tutor, you know, that helps someone along in a class. Tutorage, that is education or training. Training. So we're supposed to bring our kids up in the nurture or training of the Lord. You know, when it talks about the nurture, I really believe that the emphasis, the idea here is not just saying, this is what you ought to do. But it's saying something like this. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying what they ought to do. That's what we've been talking about. But you know, by saying what you ought to do, we ought to be modeling what they ought to do. You understand the difference? I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying it, but we ought to be modeling or demonstrating how to serve the Lord. You know, an example of that is an apprentice worker or a workman who is an apprentice. You say, well, what exactly is an apprentice? Well, most of you know, an apprentice is someone who works under the authority of someone else, right? And the whole time, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to be looking over the shoulder of the experienced worker, right? Looking over the shoulder and saying, now, how are you doing that? Now, what are you doing there? And then after a certain amount of time, they're no longer an apprentice. Maybe it's a year program or a 2 years that they have to be an apprentice. I don't know, maybe there's some that's even longer than that. But after a while, then they go out and they go and they are known as the experienced worker working on their own, right? Y'all still with me? Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So, parenting ought to be a lot like that. The kids are looking over our shoulders and seeing how we're doing things, right? Just like an apprentice. And they should be seeing us serving the Lord. They should be seeing us, not in a showy type of way, but they should see us reading God's Word. And they should see us praying to the Lord. When something comes up, what does your family do? I know what we do when we hear something like, we go to prayer. You know, we say, whether it's Amy and I, or whether it's the 3 of us, or whether the 4 of us, we usually go, oh, what, you just heard something about that? Okay, let's go to prayer right now. And they ought to see that in a family. And when it comes to church, I can't seem to get this to register with people, okay? I can't seem to get it. I don't know what, when I'm speaking a foreign language or what. I know Southern West Virginia, we talk a little funny, but I didn't think it was a foreign language. But our kids and our grandkids are watching us. And we need to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord, in the training of the Lord. We need to show them how to serve the Lord. But too many times in our selfishness, we're doing our own thing and then expecting Junior to turn out good for the Lord. It's not going to happen very often. By the grace of God, sometimes it does. But as I've said many times, most times it winds down, not up. So what a responsibility we have. Now let me ask you a question to kind of illustrate this. When you drive your car on the interstate or on Route 50 or wherever, do you obey the speed limit or not? Now, I'm not a priest, so don't confess to me now. Don't say anything, okay? But it's like Junior's in the back seat looking at the speedometer, okay? And you're driving on route, let's just say on Route 50. And the speed limit is 65, let's say. But you're up to about 70, 72, 73, because you figure you can get by with it. But guess what? When Junior gets his license, and you say, now, Junior, when you're out, you make sure to obey the speed limit. Can I tell you, what is Junior most likely going to do? Most likely, he's going to be going 70, 71, 72, and a 65, right? I mean, does everyone see that? Okay. Regardless of what you say, now teaching and this whole sermon is talking about teaching, and much of that is with our mouth, but some of our teaching ought to be with our modeling or being an example. So if we want Junior to obey the speed limit, we need to obey the speed limit. If we want Junior to serve the Lord the way he should, we ought to model it. We ought to be reading our Bible. We ought to be praying. We ought to be coming to church faithfully. We ought to be telling people about Jesus. And we ought to be giving our tithe at least to the Lord. Amen. There's five areas right there. Five to thrive, I call it. Don't expect them to do it if you're not. Because these eyes are watching us. And that watching doesn't stop. So somebody says, well, I'm okay with this because my kids are all grown and they're still watching you. And some of them, I know some of you have wayward children and wayward grandchildren from the Lord. Don't quit modeling what you're supposed to be doing because they're still looking. You don't know when they might ding, 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 light bulb come on, boom, I could have had a V8. You know, it could be one of those things that the light bulb comes on, the brain starts to click and says, you know what, my mom and dad, they still are doing what's right. My grandparents are still going to church. Maybe I should be doing the same thing. You don't know how God's going to use that. But you see, a big part of teaching is actually modeling what we need to do. The role of a father, he teaches his children. First of all, the teachings of a father should be listened to and obeyed by the children. Number two, the teachings of a father are memorable. The third point today, the teachings of a father ought to involve training or modeling. Last point, the teachings of a father should be intertwined with life. The teachings of a father should be intertwined with life. You say, preacher, where in the world are you going to get a verse or a passage to support that? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to look at this passage that God's recorded in his word with the children of Israel. I want you to understand this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 1, and then I'm going to drop down to verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. The point is, the teachings of a father or mother or grandparents or great-grandparents should be intertwined with life. Notice it says Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. So God has shared what he expects of the children of Israel. Okay? So he shared that with them. And he says, these are the commandments. Now notice what he says they're supposed to do with these commandments. Now, do we have commandments in the Word of God today for us? Absolutely. We're not under the Old Testament law, but are there still things that are right and things that are wrong? Is there still things we should be doing and things we should not be doing, right? Salvation has stayed the same. It's only by grace through faith, putting your faith and trust in Jesus. That's still there, right? Okay. All right. Just checking. So what are they supposed to do with it? I think same thing we're supposed to do with it. Look at verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You know, we as leaders of children, whether we're dad, whether we're mom, whether we're grandparents or great-grandparents, or however, whether we're guardian, guess what? In order for this to really work, we got to make sure that God's word is in our heart. That we have a seriousness about God and what we want to serve him. It's in our heart. It's not fake. It's not pretend. It's not like, let's make people happy and think that we're spiritual, but we're not. It needs to be real to us. But notice verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently, not just occasionally, not just every once in a while, not just kind of haphazard, diligently unto thy children. and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. And when thou walkest by the way. So when you're sitting down and having time with your family, talk about the Lord. Teach about the Lord. When you're walking around doing something on a trip, we may not walk to it now, we may be in the car. I imagine some of our biggest teaching moments to our family, to our boys, was probably in our van heading somewhere. It says, and when thou liest down, when you're ready for bed, and when thou risest up in the morning. You're supposed to talk and teach these things all day long, intertwined with life. Thou shalt bind them, verse 8, for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. In other words, we're supposed to take God's word serious and remind ourselves. Now, this idea of frontlets and all that. Now, these people were to have phylacteries. These were square little leather boxes. It was attached by a strap to their left hand or to their head in some way when they worshiped. And in that box was little quotes from the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. In other words, we're supposed to always remember the Word of God so we can teach it to our children. The teaching of a father should be intertwined with life. Shame on the parent that depends upon the church to do all the teaching of their children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren. Can I tell you? We'll do our part, good Lord willing. I think we got some great teachers in our church. We'll do our part to try to teach your children. But what was, I'm not sure I'll get this quote right, but it says, don't expect us to resurrect in the church what you have put to death all week in the life of your child. Do you know what I mean? That's a pretty powerful quote. The idea is not just church, but our teaching, our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren ought to be intertwined with life. Do you know how many teaching moments have come up in life? I would venture to say, and this is because this is my point of reference, so forgive me for continuing to refer to our boys, but I would imagine that probably I've taught as much and Amy has taught as much in the van as we go from point A to point B, and they probably learned about as much when we're out hunting or fishing or whether we're at a sporting event or something. Every once in a while I say, you know what, here's a teaching moment. let's talk about this a little bit, or we'll see something and we'll boys, is that the right thing to do? What do you think? And then we'll take that as a teaching moment. Because our Christian life ought to be intertwined with our day-to-day life, our hour-by-hour life. And I'm telling you, if we're not doing that as parents and as grandparents and great-grandparents, teaching them as life goes on, guess what? They're going to view life as basically like as a dichotomy. In other words, church is in this compartment, God is in that compartment, but the rest of life is over here, so they're separated. That's not the way we're to live the Christian life. The way we're supposed to live the Christian life, God is supposed to be part of everything in our life. So as we go along and we're out hunting with a grandchild, guess what you can do? You can use it as a teaching moment. You can say, hey, guess who made all these beautiful trees? Guess who provided the opportunity for us to hunt? But guess, you know, I mean, really, any which way. And you see someone who's not done the right thing, you can say, you think that's right? Oh, well, you're right, it's not right. Because the Bible says teaching moments. Teaching our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren ought to be intertwined with the things that happen during the day. And if you'll just be open and receptive and listen, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, guess what? This is a good teaching moment. Guess what? This is a good teaching moment. you'll have the opportunity to pour all of Jesus you can into their hearts and into their lives. It's important. It's important. Today we've talked about the role of a father. The role of a father. In particular, a father ought to teach his children. But you know what? This applies to mothers and grandparents and great-grandparents. We started out by talking about how little time we spend on average with our kids. I'd say spend all the time you can with your kids. Spend all the time you can with your grandkids. Now, don't let that keep you out of church. Come and bring them to church with you. That's good quality time, too. Because I can tell you, time flies by. I mean, I can't believe it. I can't believe we got two boys in college. It flies by. So take every opportunity as parent, grandparent, great-grandparent. Spend as much time as you can, but when you're spending time with them, teach them about Jesus. Now, there's room. You say, preacher, are we supposed to talk about that all 24-7, 360? I mean, like every minute? No. Life goes on. There's a lot of things to talk about. But I'm afraid that we pass up a lot of good opportunities to teach our kids by modeling. Because remember, they do remember what we say. We need to teach our kids with our words and with our example. We need to teach our kids in the things of life as we go through the day. Teach them. The role of a father. We talked about today the teachings of a father should be listened to and obeyed by the children. So if there's any children that are here, or even some adult children here today whose parents are still living, you may not have to listen to obey them, but guess what? You should honor them still. Are you honoring them the way you should? The teachings of a father are memorable. Do you remember the teachings of your parents? Probably if I ask you, went around the room, you probably remember something they taught you, right? They're memorable. Sometimes you may remember a bunch of stuff. It's the same way with you teaching your kids and grandkids. It's memorable to them. They'll remember this stuff. Just make sure it's good stuff. The teachings of a father ought to involve training or modeling. You can say all you want. Now do what I say and not as I do. All you want, but they're most likely going to do what you do. Part of truly teaching a child is modeling or being an example. So are you training your kids and grandkids by modeling what a Christian should be? Or if we were to come into your home, we'd see a whole different setting than we would here at church. I mean, we might hear things we shouldn't be hearing. We might be watching stuff we ought not be watching. We might be totally different. Guess what? Our kids and grandkids are looking at that. Are you setting a good example for them to follow? Lastly, the point we just looked at, the teachings of a father should be intertwined with life. Do you talk and teach about the Lord as life happens on a day-to-day basis? Do you use teaching moments with your kids? Is the only time your kids or grandkids hear about Jesus is at church? I encourage you today, teach your kids, your grandkids, and your great-grandkids about how to serve the Lord. I see a lot of parents, and they're all uptight about little Junior's education. You know, got to make sure he's got a good education because he's got to get a scholarship. And I think he's going to be an engineer, and I think he's going to... If we were half as concerned about little Junior's walk with the Lord, are you teaching with whatever opportunity you have? Are you teaching your kids, your grandkids, and your great-grandkids about serving the Lord? If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you a question. Today, has God challenged you through the Bible, through the Word? Has God challenged your heart today to do a better job as a parent or grandparent of teaching your kids or grandkids about serving the Lord? Has God spoken to your heart and challenged you today? If that would be the case, would you raise your hand up real high? Nobody looking around. You say, God has challenged my heart to do a better job. God bless you. Thank you for those hands. Anyone else? God has challenged my heart to do a better job, do the best I can to teach my kids or grandkids about serving the Lord. Do a better job of modeling, perhaps. Has God spoken to your heart at all about that? God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, can I tell you, we've been talking about the role of a father. We've been in that series. But you know what? You want a perfect heavenly father. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're not 100% sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven. You can have a brand new heavenly father today by trusting Jesus as your Savior. And can I tell you, our heavenly Father's perfect. He never lets you down. Your earthly father may have let you down, but let me tell you, your heavenly Father never will. I challenge you today, would you have the boldness to step out of your seat and say, you know what? I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I want to be saved. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I want to be saved. Or you might say, you know, I know I'm not saved. I know I'm not a Christian, but I want to be saved. You can do that today. Best day of your life, you do it. You can say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. Mean that from your heart. I confess Jesus as my Savior. I'd be glad to help you with that today. I'll be somewhere down front. If you need to trust Jesus, you come forward. Christian, if God has challenged you in the role of being a teacher of your kids and grandkids and you want to come to the altar, you're welcome to do so today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for the clarity of your word. Lord, it's not meant to be a mystery or something that we sit around and say, I wonder what it means by that. I mean, Lord, there's some things, yeah, kind of hard to understand, but for the most part, it just lays it out there. And Lord, that's what you've laid out in your word about the role of a father teaching his children. Lord, help us to listen, help us to obey what your word says and do a better job of teaching our kids and grandkids about Jesus. Lord, speak to hearts. If anyone here today lost, I pray that they'll come forward and be saved. In Jesus' name I pray.